Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode number 480, it is week 4 of our Summer of Mentorship. Summer of Mentorship is where I dig into the archives, and this summer I'm answering your questions with previous conversations. And I just felt like there were a lot of conversations on how to change behavior in kids. And I remember this conversation with Jeffrey and Amy Ulrich being super valuable because they flipped that question of how do I change this behavior in my child? Or how do I handle this challenging situation with the question, how shall I be with this person? They have done a lot of work. Jeffrey is a clinical psychologist, and they've created this book, 6 Needs of Every Child. They also have a podcast called Growing Connected. And in this conversation, we're talking about a needs compass that they created based on attachment theory. You can find a picture of that compass in the show notes if it's helpful to look at it while you're listening. I hope that you enjoy this conversation. I know it was good for me to go back and be reminded of these things. So let's get right to it. Here we go. Hey, Jeffrey and Amy, welcome to the Don't Mom Alone podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having us. We are thrilled to be here.
It is so exciting to be here. Thank you for having us.
And like we were just saying, if there are any technical glitches, we're doing kind of a miraculous thing by talking across the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's a wire from here somehow all the way back to the United States that is somehow
under the ocean.
To
it's all amazing.
Over from New Zealand. And I have actually a lot of listeners in New Zealand. So maybe they'll connect with you.
Oh, wow. That's exciting.
Kia ora.
Kia ora, e te whānau.
Wait, what did you say?
Kia ora e te whānau, which is hello, family. Yeah.
Really? I had no idea. I had no idea. Okay, so what area of New Zealand are you in?
We are on the North Island, center of the North Island, in a city called Hamilton.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay, so a listener connected me with y'all and your podcast, Growing Connected. So connected me to Growing Connected. And I was hooked. I listened to 2 episodes and I was like, these are my people. They have to come on the podcast. I've been parenting for 15 years and I was learning new things. Kind of like when you hit that point, you're like, I wish, you know, you kind of regret. You're like, I wish I could go back and tell my younger mom self these things and kind of ease the burden, enjoy it a little more. It still was going to be hard. So if I can give that gift to a mom who's earlier in the journey by introducing her to y'all, win, huge win. So let's start with this shifting, this parenting question. Most moms will reach out to me and they'll say, what do I do when? Or I need help when my child does this. And they want these solutions for every misbehavior or action of their children. What do you think is a better question for them to ask?
Yeah, I want to answer that. And I also want to say, just to respond to what you said, part of the reason why we wrote our book, The 6 Needs of Every Child, is because I was that same young mom that you were. I had these kiddos, and even though I had some inkling of the science, I would read parenting books and I would feel so much shame. And honestly, sometimes I'm just going to tell the truth, waves of misery. Yeah. Like, I am doing this wrong, right? And then we started to, Jeffrey and I started to really talk about the science that he had been researching and working to share with families in his work as a child psychologist. And we just realized that there's such a better message that not only resonates with the science that's being uncovered, neuroscience, attachment science, what we call the science of connection, but also with scripture, which is very exciting to us. But this question that almost feels like this reactive question, the question that we all have within ourselves is, what do I do, right? What do I do? And I remember standing in the kitchen with my little kiddos, what do I do? And the problem with that question is that you think, or I'll just speak for myself, I think there's a right or wrong answer to that question. And if I somehow get it wrong, then I have made a mistake and I have failed them. Or if I'm talking with one of my friends and I say, look, you know, my son is struggling with this. And she says, you know what? My daughter was struggling with the same thing. And this is how we solved that problem. This will work for you too. And I go home and I try it. And let's say it doesn't work, right? Well, then all of a sudden I think, I go back to that, I've done something wrong. I start to feel like a failure. I start to wonder if maybe my kid's a failure. And that those feelings of failure reflect on our faces. They reflect in our relationships we have with our kids. So we want to take this question, what should I do with my child, and transform it into a different question that we believe resonates with both science and scripture, which is, how shall I be with this person? And Jay, you can talk a little bit. Jeffrey, you can talk a little bit more about why we think that question is so important.
Yeah, it's a good instinct to want to do right by our children. And so it's not to reject the idea that parents don't have an authoritative role, a leadership role in their relationship with their children. And one thing I want to make sure listeners don't hear when we talk about how shall I be with my child is not an issue of like, how do I be friends with my child? Although I find it very interesting in Jesus's relationship with the disciples that he has a certain role early in their relationship and he graduates them, speaking in John, to, you know, I was your teacher, but now I'm your friend. And I do believe that idea, like there is a process of relationship that we are in with our children. We don't see the end of it, right? We're in the middle of it. Now our children are a little older, your children are a little older. You can see how this is a journey. This is a lifelong journey. We will never stop being mom and dad to our boys. So a relationship is something that shapes us, that forms us. And the how of that relationship, how we do relationship, is really the root of the influence we have over time. And so if we neglect the how are we doing this relationship, and we just focus on what I want you to do or what I want you to learn or know, we neglect the relationship, or we sacrifice the relationship in a lot of ways when we come under that pressure of getting something right in our child now, that ends up costing the influence we want to have over time. And so our children actually are held back from the work that God wants to do in their life over time because we get cut out of that equation. Our children will cut us out of our influence if they don't feel like they are known by us and have walked with them through the different stages of life, through the hard things, because life, look, is hard. And for our children, they don't know what they don't know. And they need us to be there walking alongside of them. Deuteronomy 6, this idea that we walk with our children. We talk about how God is with us as we walk together, and we uncover what is true about ourselves and about God. And that's how we grow.
Yeah. And then when we also say, when we're walking with this child, I think it really matters because each of our children is so unique and different.
Yeah.
And we have three boys, and each one of our boys is completely their own person. So I think that that question also opens us up to seeing them for the individuals, who they are, and that really steps us out of a question of right or wrong or formula and allows us to be with them as individuals.
Yes. Yes, and yes. So helpful. And, you know, I was telling you, I've been reading through the book and I happened to be in the dentist's office while reading it with my kids. And I'm consuming this information that you're giving. And then moms and kids would come into the waiting room. And I couldn't help but assess the attachment and the needs and all of that that you have written about with each of these relational interactions. Like, it was super interesting. And
it really is. It's a before and after moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what we do in the book is we present these instincts that every single one of us human beings is born with. They're instincts that prompt us to develop and grow. It's an instinct, but they complement each other, but they look different, which can be so confusing for us parents. So children are born with the instinct to go out and explore and master their world, to go out. It's why, you know, we humans develop and grow and, you know, want to find new places in the world and make new discoveries. That's because we have an instinct to go out. And then we have this other instinct that when things are hard or we have questions or we need protection, other things, we want to come back to a trusted caregiver and we want to recover and regroup. And it is this circle of movement forward. There's the going out and there's the coming back, the going out and coming back. I saw it most clearly in my little guys when we go to the park when they were little, because again, we go back to the different temperaments. One of them was very timid. So he would kind of toddle a couple steps away from us, and then he would start to feel unsure. And then he would come right back and run to us. We had another kiddo who was just, you know, so curious and is such a little explorer, and he could run. Sometimes I'd worry he'd just run, keep going, but he'd get about maybe a block away and then you'd see his little head turn. Where's mom and dad? Okay. And there is this push and pull, this almost magnetic connection that we have with our kids, and they use us to grow, and they use us as they go out and as they come back. And in balancing of both things well, you know, it's getting to see our kids and, oh, they need to know how to go out well. Oh, they need to be able to come back and recover well. But yeah, once you start to see it, I notice it too when I'm looking at other moms. And
I mean, I was really not trying to judge. If you saw me,
no, we can't. I couldn't help all of it. This.
And I really,
yeah, it's not a judgment. Yeah.
And a parent team came in with their three boys. And I kind of had a little moment of like, oh my gosh, that was totally me with my three boys. And the boys were climbing all over things and underneath and doing the exploring. But the response from one parent and the other was so different. And I was like, oh man, if I had the compass right now in front of me. And so I want y'all to introduce everyone listening to this needs compass, because a part of that exploring and coming back and reconnecting in that attachment process is at different points for each of our children, they're going in and out of a need. And how we respond to that influences whether they seek us out again. Is that right? To fill that need, or whether we have disconnect or connection?
Yeah, there are a couple of things going on there. And the first thing I just want to reflect back on is this idea, I think, as in general in parenting, like there are secrets for little kids. There are secrets to know about the middle childhood. There are secrets in what's going on now, what's going on. And those things are all valid. There are developmental stages. There are important things going on that are sort of rise to the surface at different stages. But what we tried to help do for parents is ground them. So the six needs, which are delight, support, boundaries, protection, comfort, and equipping. And those six needs align with what Amy was talking about earlier about the two general movements of life, which is to go out and to come back. But those six needs ground all of those developmental stages. So, you know, the 2-year-old, the 10-year-old, the 18-year-old, me as an adult, I still am guided, directed within myself by those needs. They look very different at different stages, but we wanted to give parents something where they could go, okay, whatever age my kid, whatever his personality, I know these needs are in there within them. My job is to know my child and begin to discern what that need looks like at different moments and at different stages, and recognize what my role is to help them with that need. And a bit of the tricky business is here is like we're carrying those needs too, and we have biases. Like there are needs that we pay closer attention to that we instinctually or intuitively or by our own attachment histories growing up, like we, you know, when you're a hammer, everything's a nail, that sort of business. So most people will read this book and they'll go, oh yeah, that need, that need, that need, I'm all over it. And then those other needs, you're like, oh yeah, maybe I kind of, you know, there's some part of me that recognizes that that's a need, but I don't like going there.
Yeah.
So the book is helping parents to just, one, ground them that six is a manageable number. We're not talking about 12 or something, you know, and they're not changing. They're constant. There's a through line throughout, even if what it looks like changes. So it would be less overwhelming for parents. They could say, at this moment with this child, of those six options, what makes the most sense? And let's work in that direction.
Again, you can find those six needs in the show notes, but I'm going to say them again for you right now. The three explore needs are delight, support, and boundaries. And the three draw near needs are protection, comfort, and equipping. Delight, support, boundaries, protection, comfort, equipping. One thing I love about summer is I do not have to do the full face of makeup. And I also love that with Thrive Cosmetics, I have products that stand the test of the summer heat. You know what I'm talking about. It's not smearing all over the place. I can stick to my essentials. The Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara, which, you know, it's that turquoise tube you see all over socials. I have told you all about it. I absolutely adore it if you've not tried it out yet. And it's easy to see why they have thousands of five-star reviews because, one, these products are certified 100% vegan, cruelty-free, zero parabens, sulfates, phthalates. Two, Thrive Cosmetics donates to 8 major causes, including those impacted by cancer, domestic abuse, veterans, and education organizations. And so the products work. They're clean and they give back, which to me is the unicorn of makeup products. But let me tell you about one of my new favorite products. It's their Empower Matte Precision Lipstick Crayon. This has changed my lipstick game this summer. What I have loved is, one, I have a bunch of shades. So whether it's a night out with Bruce or just I want like a more daytime color, a lighter color, they have 12 different shades. Also, it's a 2-in-1 lipstick. So it has this liner where I can line and define and then fill it in. And there's a built-in sharpener. Amazing. It's waterproof, sweatproof. It lasts up to 12 hours with this like rich, opaque pigmentation. It glides on my lips. It's bold. It's non-sticky, velvety. It is awesome. So you let it set and then you will get that 12 hours of hydration and wear. I'm going to tell you again about the Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara. What's great is it doesn't flake. It doesn't smudge. When I want the mascara to come off, it slides off super easily with just warm water and doesn't leave black marks all under my eyes. And it has ingredients that are creating longer, stronger, healthier looking lashes over time. So it's time to refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, beauty that gives back. Right now you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/DMA. That's Thrive Cosmetics spelled CAUSEMETICS.com/DMA for 10% off your first order. Okay, with this layout, so we've got these six needs, delight, support, boundaries, protection, comfort, equipping. I'm just labeling them quickly. What do you suggest? I know the book goes through each one, but there's a little bit of overwhelm of like, okay, especially when I saw that parent combo with the three boys. There's three different needs presenting at the same time in a waiting room as she's trying to fill out paperwork for the insurance, the insurance paperwork. And it's just like, be quiet, sit still, or get on a device, like, stop, just stop. I don't think she was processing what their needs were, or like each one might have his own unique needs. It felt a little overwhelming to apply.
You know, this is just something that I'm wondering about as I think something that has helped me so much in those moments, which is so overwhelming. And I also had three little boys and I grew up in a home that was very structured with boundaries. And we were very well behaved when we went out because that was just that was a very, very high value in my family. So you wouldn't necessarily have seen us, you know, acting out. We decided to value other needs. We still, you know, we tried to support our kids as we went out, but unless you're really strictly enforcing certain behavioral norms, if you're going out with three kids, you're going to look a bit of a mess, right? And so something that I hope that this book points to is our own needs as well. Hmm. And so I don't know about that mom and what to do in that moment, but I know that that is what's helped me when I'm in the grocery store and a child is screaming where everything's falling apart, is for me to remember that I am delighted in, for me to remember that these boys are gifts to me from God, and we could look like a disaster to everyone around us, and I'm not going to be able to keep this under control. Like, this next 45 minutes could go really badly for all of us. But all I know is that I want to be in relationship with these kiddos for the rest of my life. And so what that keeps me from doing is the waves of guilt, shame, the trying to squash them down too harshly, the way that I feel like I've struggled with doing before, and just being present in the moment. And even almost like in my head, like laughing to myself at the ridiculousness of the moment, like, here we go. And it's, I will say to any young moms who are in this situation, it gets so much easier. Like, it just gets so much better. There are some things that's just, it is hard to wrangle three kids with different needs, but then also seeing them. I mean, there's a difference between, I read this in a book years ago, or maybe no, it was a friend who worked at a doctor's office. And she said, you can see different kinds of moms. It's the kinds of moms who go in and the kid will go and whack on the fish tank, right? Mm-hmm. And they either say, like, they'll just say, don't whack the fish tank, which is a normal response. You don't want them to whack the fish tank. Or the moms who say, don't whack the fish tank, it might scare the fish. So it might seem like a small difference, but what that second response is doing is saying, I see you as someone who in a moment is perhaps making a poor choice of whacking on the fish tank, but I also want you to understand what's going on. I see you as a valuable person who doesn't just need to be squashed. You get to learn something from this moment too. You still have to have a boundary here, but it's just this long, long process of seeing them as people in front of us and trying to love ourselves in these moments and saying, yeah, look, I'm a human being and we're going to get through this.
Yeah. And I'd add to that, we used the compass. We put the needs into the framework of a compass. And part of the reasoning behind that is our belief that this journey we're on with our children, it is a journey. Like, you know, New Zealand people love to tramp. I just completed a 20-mile hike over these mountains nearby. And, you know, you walk you go into the woods and there's no like highway path. There's no straight point from A to B. Like, you are going left and right and you lose the trail and then you panic and then you need certain skills to get you where you ultimately want to go. Yeah. To find your way. And so our observation is parenting is a lot of moments of feeling lost. And I think to talk to that question of what do I do, I think some of it is a fear that we have parents. If we lose the trail for even a moment, that wolves are going to snatch our children or snatch us, that somehow we are put in imminent danger if I don't get this back right on the clean and clear path. And we want to set parents free from that and say, no, actually, that's actually going to be pretty normal to lose the trail now and then. And especially if you've got three boys, like, three of you will be off the trail. Maybe one of you's on the trail, but you are still together and you're going to find your way back to firm footing with these six needs giving you like a compass, the direct, like, how did we get off? What went wrong there? We'll debrief that later. We'll be wiser at the next turn in the trail to not get that far into the bushes. So it's that process. And I go back to this idea of, you know, you use religious language, sanctification. Like, it's comforting to me to know that I'm being transformed into the likeness of Christ, that is a long journey. God is patient in his relationship with me to see that through, that it's sanctification doesn't come today. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I walk with my children and there are going to be moments when I'm off the trail or they're off the trail. Both of us are off the trail. but I have a compass. And of course, at the end of the day, we talk about the North Star, which is Jesus and the Holy Spirit guiding us back where we need to be. But if that doesn't happen right now, right in this moment, all is not lost. And in fact, much will be learned from being reflective and curious about how we got ourselves in this mess.
Yeah, I'm having this funny memory of back when we lived in Florida and the kids were little, like every now and again, we would have enough money to try to go out to dinner, right? So I remember one time we took the kids and it was nowhere fancy. It was a burger place. And these guys are little. And I look over in the booth that we're in and they are rolling over each other like puppies, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And We've done that one. Just like, yeah. Like, and I think we spent, you know,
feral
like,
animals.
And we spent like $60 on something for that meal. Yep. And yep. I just later I said to Jeffrey, I was like, never. Maybe once every 3 to 6 months we can try this. But like, let us not do this again for a very long time. We can try this again. And now those are those moments that we roll laughing. Like those are those moments that you're lying next to your spouse at night and you were just rolling, thinking about how funny that was. It doesn't feel funny in the moment.
No, it did not.
Feel funny. But yeah, like it is that journey. It is that we were probably to the people around us, we looked a little lost, but it's part of our family story now. It's the lore that we create and that I hope that we'll be able to sit at Christmases and talk about together with them.
And I think the key, like to connect, you know, what you're saying with the journey and what you hit on for a second is the relationships with your children. That's the long journey. That's what matters. And so when we're in public or when we have those moments, even with friends, because I had so many, I mean, that was where I just felt like my pride just crumble all the time was being with friends and my kids misbehaving and being so incredibly embarrassed. And I connected when you share in the book, Amy, about this fear of failure. I have that as well. And I think a lot of our listeners do. We do not want to quote unquote fail as moms. And so we sometimes value the opinions. We don't want to, we also fear, you know, losing other people's approval. And so sometimes in those moments of ridiculousness is in the restaurant, we are so concerned with these strangers around us and their opinions that we treat our children in a way that is not what we'd like to. We disrupt relationship. We disrupt that connection. And like you all have been saying, then they stop the trust and we lose that voice in their life. And I don't know, I feel like that's just a really powerful reminder to me, even heading into the teen years. I totally agree that this needs compass is super helpful no matter what stage you're in. I mean, just had a moment with one of my boys and my response and his response, there was definitely a disconnect. And I picked up your book again and I was like, oh, wait, shoot. There's a mismatch need here. So I just came back to him and I said, you know, what did you need in that conversation? And what he really needed was support and he needed my encouragement that he's actually been making some good choices and that I trust him. And what I was feeling was this need to protect him and to shut things down. And so we were missing each other, mm-hmm. but we could talk about it and I could then give him the support and the words and say, you are doing a fantastic job. I am so impressed with the boundaries and the ways that you're living your life and the choices that you're making. So all of that to say, I think I said multiple things, but one was that I totally relate to when we make others' opinions of our kids and ourselves more important than the relationship with our kids. And then also that this works again marvelously for all stages. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And I think you're touching on your interaction with your son there. I want to make sure listeners understand about these needs. One is that they're very fluid, and two is they're not mutually exclusive. So as our children are moving through life, it's not that they have only one need at a time.
Right.
And often what's the case is we see one of the needs that's on the table, you know, what's relevant for that situation. They perceive a need, they're prioritizing a need. And I'm going off in my direction, they're going off in their direction, and we're stuck. We keep pushing harder in the directions that seem most relevant to each of us. And fracture occurs. It's that feeling of disconnection. I think all of us is, well, and most of our relationships, but especially our relationship with children, we feel that within ourselves. And that, and we say to people, just listen, pay attention to that. That's usually a sign. There are probably multiple needs, and you're driving in one direction, your child is driving in another. It is your job. Like, it's that authoritative, not authoritarian, but taking charge is what we mean by authoritative. Like, you have an authority to take charge of this moment and give context and understanding. Your child's not going to come to you and say, excuse me, Dad, can you not see that what I really need here right now is, no, they can't do that. It's our job to go, oh, wait a second, big picture. There are a couple of things going on. Let me help my child and me together get there.
Right. And that's why with the compass design, we split the pointer in two in this compass. One side is you and one side is your child. And the way that you grew up, the way that you were parented by your own parents really determines the needs that you're going to most naturally turn to. And so what we hope is that people will start to recognize the feeling of disconnection and get curious about how to turn to get reconnected again. And like Jeffrey's saying, it makes me think of a story with one of our own boys was really having a difficult time with bedtime. He was just screaming and crying. And it was one of these things where it just felt like setting the boundary of you need to go to bed just felt wrong. Like, it wasn't making anything better. So that's that moment that I can get curious, like Jeffrey's saying, okay, I'm the person here who is kind of in charge. And I recognize that there's something not working with the way that I'm going about it. So I get curious. And hopefully, again, like, it's helpful. We find that it's helpful to have directions to turn to when we're feeling a little lost. And I think, you know what? I wonder if he's in pain about something. I wonder if there's something that I don't know about. I wonder if he needs comfort, which is one of the other needs. So I just went and lay down next to him for a while. And I would say he was really upset for 15 minutes, just not, you know, not sweet, huggy upset, like screaming, crying, really difficult to deal with upset. And then he softened. And then he said, he told me a story about something that had happened to him that day at school that had been so hard, right? And if I had not known to turn, to go to comfort, to just be still and wait, to say, I am here. If you want to talk, I am here with you. If I hadn't known to do that, what I would have done is I would have escalated and escalated, and that feeling of disconnection would have continued. But as it was, I was able to create space for him to share something that had been very, very difficult for him. And all of a sudden, we were able to come back together. And that is a gift. And I hope that that is a gift that understanding these needs and understanding our own wiring will help people with as we move forward in our relationships with our kids.
When I think of the Ulrichs pointing us to the question, how shall I be with this person? It is such a good reminder to me to be fully present, because sometimes I can spend all the energy on making the memories and being the family historian that I miss out on just enjoying being with my kids in those moments. And I'm really thankful to have discovered Duncan and Stone Paper Company, because they take the stress out of documenting those moments so you can be more fully present. I love that Duncan and Stone was created by moms. The founders are moms. They have this entire line of memory journals to help you busy parents capture these childhood memories, whether it's pregnancy, if you're about to head to a baby shower, or a baby's first year. I even love how these moms know in the back of the baby's first year journal, there's a section for photos, but they give a list of potential photos you could take, which I think is so awesome, because if it is your first kid, you may not know how much these are going to change over that first year. They even have journals all the way up to age 18. I love that they have a prayer journal that you can pray over your child as they grow. They even have childhood prayer cards that have scripture on each one if you need prompts to pray, pregnancy prayer cards. And if you know someone who has lost someone recently, or you yourself have, they have a grief journal, which I think is such a helpful tool as you move through the grief process. These products are not only thoughtful, but they're also really gorgeous. You will want to display them on your coffee table or bookshelf because they have this linen cloth cover, gold embossing. They are so beautiful. And what's even better is, unlike a lot of high-end stationery products, these products are priced so that capturing your life experiences doesn't break the bank. Very affordable. Please go click the link and go check them out. These journals will absolutely be something our family will cherish for years to come. We want you to experience them for yourself. So right now we have a special offer for our listeners. Get 20% off your first order with promo code DMA20. Did we mention that they offer free shipping on any order over $49? You know we're a sucker for free shipping. So head to www.duncanandstone.com. Start your memory making journey today. Use that code DMA20, Duncan and Stone, and it's D-U-N-C-A-N and spelled out stone.com with the code DMA20. So what I'm hearing is when we sense there's a disconnection with one of our children, we get curious and we, instead of just reacting from where our compass naturally points or our natural response, to consider there may be a different direction we need to go. Is that right?
Right. That's right. Just that curiosity, that making space for the pause to get curious and wonder about this person in front of us.
And again, it may be just a different direction to go first.
Right.
And you'll come back to the thing, which as a parent, you have some wisdom to say, this is a need. Or sometimes you go that other direction and realize you throw that other thing out. You realize, oh, it was all about this. And so again, it's not about that rigid formula. It's about being able to learn how to use a compass, right? Like you use your intuition, you have your tool, and all there is to do is to march off in a certain direction. And you either refine the trail or you don't. And if you don't, you say, you stop, you pause, you get curious and say, what did I miss? What are the other options?
Yeah. For myself, I often spend a lot of like their little years really just in teacher mode and training mode and wanting like everything's a lesson. Everything is a lesson. And I think the moms that listen to the show are super intentional and really want the best for their kids. And when I heard about your delight, the delight need listed, I was like, oh man, well, I know they're cute. And when they're babies, it's real easy. But oh wow, has it been hard? Especially with all this time together. And honestly, with boys, sometimes it's hard to delight sometimes in the crazy and the chaos. Yeah. And so that was, I mean, just that concept of like, how do I, my husband does this beautifully. I mean, he just, they don't have to be quote unquote doing something. It's not like they've learned to play the guitar and now they're on stage. They just, the way they say something or an expression on their face and he notices it or comments on it or says, I love the way you blah, 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 blah. And so I learned from him, but it is not a natural bent to turn my compass that way. Do you have any tips for if, I mean, I know there are in each chapter tips, but like for moms who wanted these, meeting these needs is harder for them?
I think first of all, just to value it. So to speak specifically about delight, we really believe that the journey of our relationship with our kids begins with delight, which is just seeing them for who they are, different than anything they've accomplished or even that you hope that they might accomplish one day. We tell the story in the book of God's baptism of Jesus before he began his ministry, before he did anything remarkable, before he went out into the world with his disciples, before the cross, before the temptation. And God said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And some translations say in who I delight in. And so when I first heard about that, before we even had kids, I just started crying because I thought, I don't believe that about myself. I don't believe that I am just loved for who I am. I don't have to accomplish anything. You know, Heather, you said that you struggle with that failure feeling too. That might be a particular need to pay attention to. So if that is a need that you struggle with in expressing delight over your kids just for who they are, start to wonder if you feel like you are loved Do you feel like God loves you completely and wholly for who you are? Because it is hard to pour love out on people when you feel like your tank is empty. So I do think that there is space to do that. And then also, if it's very difficult, sometimes just saying the words, I love being with you. I love your smile. You know, what you're grateful about for your kiddos. Sometimes we do these things because we know they're important. And then the emotions follow that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would just add to that in some ways, starting with any parent who's struggling with a particular child or all their children accessing delight is just being released from guilt and shame about that. Because at the end of the day, even if you know you're loved and delighted in by God, and you are not under feeling heavy pressures to accomplish things with or through your child, personalities sometimes just don't match. Like, I have a personality that matches with my boys differently, each of them. And so with one child over another, I have to work in different ways to make sure that child versus another knows that I see him apart from my expectations of him. And I love it. I love what I see. So, but I do think, practically speaking, and I suspect that this is a burden perhaps more for mothers, especially in the church, than fathers, where there's this heavy burden or duty to be the point person on raising your children in lots of ways. To just ask that question, is my difficulty accessing delight from that burden or pressure and fear of letting go of a certain outcome with my child, whether it's behavioral or, you know, academic or striving in any way? Because you really do have to let go of, like, be okay, at least for a moment, that they're a mess or not something that feels like they should be, wherever that comes from. You have to be able to let go of that. But sometimes you've let go of that and it's just the personality is like, you know. I'll tell a little story. I'm kind of a lower energy guy, reflective, introverted, and I have a boy who is much the extrovert, high energy. And one day I had to tell him, because I knew he sensed that I was not delighting in our interactions at time. And I explained to him, I said, you know what, buddy, I love you so much, but I want to teach you something. Some humans get energy from being around people, and some human beings, they lose energy. It's just, we're made differently. It's a natural thing in humans. And so sometimes I will lose my energy playing with you just because I'm an introvert. And you want more of it because you gain energy from it. And so I just want you to know, if I have to take a break or step out of it, actually, it's not because I don't love the heck out of you and enjoy you. And that really helped him, that naming personality differences and separating that out from how I really, in the deepest parts of my soul, feel about him. So sometimes there's just practical things that we educate our kids about. Relationships can be complicated.
That's good. That's really helpful. Mm-hmm. Oh, y'all, I want to talk for 30 days about every single one. Okay, let's say the needs one more time so that they can hear them. We're also going to, can we put a copy of the compass in the show notes or like a link to it?
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
So starting with that whole idea that God-given instinct to go out into the world, to explore and master it, it's part of the joy of being human, to discover who we are in the world. So there are three needs there: delight, support, and boundaries. So our children have those needs from us to help them thrive in that domain. And then there's that other God-given instinct to draw near to a trusted caregiver, someone who feels safe and who loves us when life gets hard, confusing, difficult, especially emotionally. And those three needs there are protection when it's outright dangerous, comfort when it's not necessarily dangerous but still painful, and equipping is when we make sense of all that pain. So they need us to come alongside of them in those ways when they're on that side of the circle. So that's the compass.
Thanks for explaining that to us. I think the compass is a great tool for parenting, and with our marriage and parenting together. I think it gave me language to my husband is a words of affirmation guy, and I struggle sometimes to do words of affirmation. And so to be able to say to him, hey, I was listening to this podcast and I recognize that you are really good at delighting in our children and meeting that need for them, and just using the words of this compass as a way to build up our spouses too, and ways that they're okay. I know our time is up. I know you guys have lives. It is not just to do the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I want to end our time with your recognition, Jeffrey, of as you came to Christ in your faith, how you saw God and how he parents his children. I don't know if you remember writing about that or if you want can talk about that, but that to me was super powerful.
Well, so a little background. I grew up in a nominally Christian home, did not really have a full understanding exposure to the gospel. So that came later in life for me, around the time just before I went to graduate school. So at that point, vocationally, I was already pursuing the field of psychology and child development. That's what interested me. But as I was entering into those higher level studies, I was introduced to the gospel, came to faith in Christ. And so I was all, because I love to learn. I'm a researcher and I'm intellectual. You know, that's, I live in my head a lot. Like I just dove into scripture. Like I want to understand this Bible. This is like a great gift to me. So there was a parallel process in my life of God revealing himself to me in his word, as well as revealing things about how humans are made, you know, just this scientific view of our biological design. And of course, since those things were happening at the same time in my life, the Holy Spirit, I felt, was just making connections for me that I might not have otherwise made. And one of the things that I felt uncomfortable about as a Christian, as a researcher and scientist, was what I come to view as an unhealthy use of scripture as sort of a manual for parenting. Because in my view and understanding of scripture, it was not written primarily as a parenting manual, or really any kind of manual. And my view of scripture is it's a story. It's a narrative about relationship. Ultimately, relationship between God and us, his sons and daughters. So that's a relational story, which when I come at it as a scientist, understanding how we are designed biologically and carrying that orthodox view that we are made in God's image, you just see all sorts of connections about how to be in relationship, what God, through Jesus, is revealing to us about healthy connection, healthy relationship, that tied to the research specifically in the attachment field, but in other related fields as well. So I don't know if that's what you're getting at, but yes, there's so much there, but you have to come at it a little differently than just looking for that. Again, that manualized, where does it say about what do I do with my child in this situation? Which is just not how scripture was designed to be read in terms of parenting, I don't think.
Well, I'm going to read you back to you. Are you ready? I discovered a God who both suffered and comforted, a God who walked along the path with us. This was a God who sent out, but also gathered in, who instructed and directed, not with a harsh rod, but with a firm and gentle spirit. This was a God with a sense of humor, a God who delighted, a God who saw me and would discern my needs, a God who looked awfully like the parents who raised secure children.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. It's very well done.
I came to Christ really through this verse. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And like I wanted that. I recognized that was the bottom side of the circle we're talking about. I needed to come to someone who I could feel safe with, who would hold me in the burdens of what my life were at that point as a young adult, but also who provided a way forward for me, who would send me out into the world. And so it's very much part of my story, what I see in my research and the research field of attachment and what my own experience is. So yeah, God was up to something, I'm sure.
Well, I love what y'all are doing. If you are listening to this episode, the book that they wrote together is The Six Needs of Every Child, Empowering Parents and Kids Through the Science of Connection. And it's a great combination of Jeffrey's scientific research, Amy's stories and connections to us as moms, particularly, and Jeffrey, you're, as a dad, goes through each need specifically and how you know where you are, like what you can do to help yourself in addressing that need. And I found it really gentle and kind and not shaming. So thanks y'all for writing this book. We will definitely put a link to y'all's podcast, Growing Connected, where you are doing great interviews and episodes. And is there a website I could point them to as well?
Yes. Thank you for all that. And then you can find our website at growingconnected.com.
Well, I think we're going to have you back on again, because
we would love that. We've loved this conversation. It's so good. It's a gift to get to connect with you. It really is.
Well, I am honored for your time and just really helping us parent well. So thank you for that.
Thank you too.
So that episode originally released in April of 2021, and that fall, Amy and Jeffrey decided to stop producing their podcast, but they still have their episodes up over at Growing Connected. Definitely worth checking out. Great resources there. I'm going to pray over us. Lord, thank you that you model grace, the journey, the process of becoming. I pray that we can feel that for ourselves as we are journeying with our kids. When we get off the path, that we can use this compass to reconnect emotionally with the people we love, whether we are on a family vacation, whether we are getting ready to launch a kid to college or send them off to kindergarten. Lord, I pray that we would lean on your spirit to guide our moments with our kids and with others around us, that you could help heal even our own journey with our parents, and just pour your abundant grace and mercy over us as we hold this important role that you've given us of parenting. And in Jesus' name, amen. Thanks y'all for joining me. Remember, first Friday of the month is this Friday. Me and Cynthia, we are gonna get sidetracked together. So join us this Friday. All right. Adios. Bye.